God's name in vain. By the way, if you still got a filthy mouth, there's something wrong in your spirit. I mean, it may be something slipping once in a while. That's not what I'm talking about. Everybody's got a moment, you know, weakness. But if you still got a filthy mouth, man, you need to go back and touch the cross, because one of the first things God does is He begins to wake up your conscience and say, you know what, you ought not be talking like that anymore. I remember when I got saved, man, I started trying to figure out what to say. I lost half my vocabulary. Now I say stink all the time. It works. Pick it up, all right? Stink. That stinking dog, you know. If I hurt my finger, stink! Works! Find a word, but don't be foul! By the way, it's funny, when I'm around people, when I was in Cleveland, people started saying stink. My son-in-law said, I'll never say stink. He's saying stink. See what I'm saying? We got to find a way through this mess, because you got to have something to grab hold of quick, especially if your wife's real close, because you really want her to know it hurts. Right? You hit your finger. Stink! Did you hear it? What happened, honey? You know, if they're not there, you just say stink. But if they're there, stink! Just a little extra. Well, we not only have a new covenant, we also have a new cleansing, and that is awesome. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. It says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Then it had ordinances and so forth of divine service and sanctuary. But in verse 2 it says, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein had a candlestick and all this stuff. He's saying in this that there was ordinances of service. There were ordinances of service. You know, what we have here today, we have two ordinances left. Two in the church. The Old Testament, man, there was ordinances for everything. You know, if you had leprosy, you had to go in, you had to show them a little growth. If there was some growth, mold in your house, you had to go take the priest, show them. There was ordinances for everything. And yet we have two. We have baptism, and we have the Lord's Supper. And what I want you to understand is that God's ordained this not because he's got nothing else to do. He knows we need it. You know, he says, this do in remembrance of me. Why? Because we are prone to forget. Don't you forget? Don't you sometimes just get on with life and think, you know, well, you know, I got my church. I find it amazing. I'll call people on a calling machine at times, and I'll do a little survey with them, and I'll ask them, you know, do you attend church? How often? Frequently? And then I'll ask them, what's your pastor's name? And they'll say, I don't know. That guy says steak all the time. I don't know what his name is, you know. They don't know, because they really don't go to church. But what he does is he wants us to come back and remember something. Now, baptism is a one-time thing. We get baptized because God says to. If you're not willing to get baptized because you just are embarrassed or whatever, then just don't start talking to everybody about how you're saved. You probably aren't saved. You're not willing to get baptized. I mean, he went naked to a cross, folks. He did. That's what he did. But I don't want to get wet. I don't want to mess up my makeup. I don't want to mess up my hair. And I just wish I had more hair. You know, you got something to mess up. We'll all notice. But we won't laugh. We'll cry with you. We'll say, praise God, you got saved. Because you stepped up and you did what He said. So we get baptized once, but we do this over and over again. So really, we have one ordinance of baptism. We have one that we commemorate the Lord's death all the time, because we want to remember, because we're prone to forget. What did He do? His body was broken for me. His blood was shed for me. And he says in verse 11 about this new cleansing, he kind of brings it to the fore. He says, but Christ being come as a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. He says, neither by blood of goats and of calves, but by the blood, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Really, once for all into the holy place. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know what? Eternal redemption. Not this week, but off next week. It's forever. And it's a cleansing that He Himself vouchsafed to us. He went in. He offered up His blood. He entered into the true, into the heavens. In verse 12, He talks about entered in once into the holy place. The real holy place. And He did it for us. And what we have now in verses 13 and 14, he says, is a blood that really does cleanse. Verse 13 says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ? Now, folks, listen. When people have to deal with their sin, many people despair in this world because they don't know how to get loose. Many people take their own lives because they don't know how to get forgiveness. People get so overwhelmed, they think they use the word depression. Depression happens when people have so much on their in their backpack called sin that it weighs them down. From the very earliest days, God said to Cain, "He Cain, why is your countenance fallen? If you will do well, it will go well with you. But sin lies at your door, and you must master it." Now, beloved, for you and me, we know the secret to life is found at the foot of the cross. Because it is there you can get forgiveness. I don't care how far you've gone down the road, how many sins you've crammed into that backpack. God says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I can make them like wool. I can take them and separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. I can bury them in the deepest sea, and they'll never be remembered against you anymore. There's nothing like knowing that it's all okay." If you've ever been pulled over by a police officer having gone too fast down the road, man, you know how you feel like, "Oh, brother, man, stink." And you're like, "Whoa, don't call him a stinking dog, okay?" You say, "Yes, sir, officer. I'm sorry, officer." But you know what's really cool? It's when he says, "You know what? I'm going to let you go this time." Guess what God said? "I'm going to let you go." Woo-hoo! I'm free and I'm cleansed. Now, when they used to go to those priests and those priests would say, "Take a bull or a goat," they would go away feeling free. But how much more now we got Jesus? How much more now we got the blood of Christ? Blood was demanded and blood was given, and it wasn't from a lamb, it wasn't from a goat, and it wasn't from a mere man. It was from God Himself. And I stand before God saying, "I don't understand. I don't know how it works, but I believe you because it makes sense in the sense that you gave us all those shadows. I saw his face, but I didn't know what I was looking at. And when he arrived and stepped in there, I said, 'Oh, that's who it was.' And when John cried out, 'Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world,' he knew. He knew he would be one whose shoes he would not be worthy to unlatch." In verse 15 of chapter 9, it says, "And for this cause, Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament." You know what a testament is, right? Your last will and testament. Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament. He's the one who stands in the midst. The word mediator means one who stands in the midst. And he lays a hand on God. And he lays a hand on you. And he makes it all okay. He's the mediator, but he's also the testator. He's the one who had to die. It says in verse 16, it says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be a death of the testator." So he gave us the mediation. He had satisfied every demand of the law. He showed us every nuance. If you know your Old Testament, which most of us are sadly ignorant of because we get bogged down and we're not used to applying our brains to it, but in time, God willing, you'll get in the ground where, wow, that's a cool sacrifice. You guys have all kinds of tools online and in your study Bibles that can help you plow through and get to know Him better because He's everywhere. History is simply His story, and man, He showed Himself all over the place in the Old Testament. But what He's saying here is He's put Himself in the midst, and He was not only there in the Old Testament, but He's there now in the New, and He's the one who not only was the mediator, but He's also the testator who died. In verse 17 it says, "For a testament is only in force after men are dead." And he did, in fact, die. Look down to verse 22. Verse 22 tells us even over all. He says in verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." When I say we have a new cleansing, everywhere you see the word purged here, it's the word catharizo. We get the word catheter. It's the idea of cleansing. You would get a catheterization at the hospital for your heart. They're cleansing out your arteries, you see it. That's what's happening here. He says he's cleansing you. He cleanses you. All things in the Old Testament were purged by blood. When they took the law, the first time Moses read the law to the people out loud, He took blood of goats and lambs and all kinds of stuff, and he put a hyssop bush, which was like a brushy bush, and he put it in there, and he sprinkled it on the law, and he sprinkled blood on the people, and he was doing it in God's behalf. Because that was not the true. That was the old. The new came in, and Jesus took his own blood. And he ratified his testament with his own blood. Mediator and testator. Almost all things are purged by blood. But don't miss the second half of verse 22. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The word remission means to send away. You've heard of somebody being a scapegoat? That's a biblical term. Once a year they'd come together, confess all the sins of Israel over a goat, and they would run it out of town. Scapegoat. We hear these things, but we don't know how awesome God is. He has drawn with broad strokes on history. And when Jesus came, he brought it down to a fine point. He said, right here it is. Everything you ever wondered about, everything you ever wanted, everything you ever needed is found in Christ. He in Him is hidden all the riches and treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You get to know Christ, you get it all. It's an awesome thing. We have a cleansing. We have a covenant. And in the verse, if you let your eye fall down to verse 24, it says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. And now He does this now to appear in the presence of God for us." The word "for" is the word "huper." It means to be in behalf of us. He's nudging the Father saying, "I got that." He's nudging the Father, "I got that. I got that. They believe in me. They're trusting. I got that. I got them." Listen, we need Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And the way the world understands that truth is by you and by me living in the day-to-day life as mercy receivers. As those who understand, I don't walk high upon the earth. I don't walk with my shoulders squared and arrogant and proud at the world. Listen, I walk through this thing feeling like I need God so much sometimes, I just don't know which way to go. And I find Him whenever I reach for Him. He says, "Seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart." And folks, sometimes we go on trying to build a new pack on our back, but you just need to come back. You need to come back and say, "It was for me. He bled for me. He died for me." And the moment that you do that, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That day, steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. New every morning. We come to the table this morning remembering that it was His blood that was shed to send away your sins. That He's not going to remember your iniquities and your sins against you if you trust Him. But if you're not willing to trust Him, where will you go? To whom will you go? He is the only one who can save. And God didn't do it in 3-year ministry. He did it over the course of the entire Old Testament, drawing with broad strokes, so that when Jesus had His 3-year ministry, we'd say, "Wow. Oh, wow." And we'd be able to rest in that. Because we have a better covenant. We have a better cleansing. We have better promises. We have a better priest. We have it all. And if any people this morning need to be thankful, have a reason to be thankful, it is those of us in this room who have His mark on our forehead. The Bible says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I can't tell you whether you've been sealed or not. I know some of you have prayed with me, and that's all well and good, or you prayed with somebody else. But a prayer does not save. Faith saves. If you need to go back and touch the foot of that cross, don't let anything stop you from doing so this morning. I want you to bow your heads with me a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.